Now. Sports talk. While you're on the clock. This is Zolak and Bertrand.
A sports show radio host.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
I've been, really relatively injury free, my entire life. And allergies is something I've always had to battle, whether it's fresh cut grass or cats.
Let this ride.
Hour number two, Zolak and Bertrand from our Town Fair Tire Studios at 98.5 The Sports Hub. That's David Price, who battled once again. Battled on Saturday, pitched 5 1/3, 5 hits, 2 runs, both of them earned, walked 3, struck out 6, threw 93 pitches, 55 of them for strikes, and looked like David Price.
Yeah.
How could he do it? How could he do that so soon after being diagnosed with
that? Doesn't help
mild
him.
Carpal tunnel.
Doesn't help his battling. Really doesn't. So you couldn't pitch 3 days earlier, but you're good to go Saturday? Good for you, Red Sox.
This is what happens. He was
good
in a no-win. He was in a no-win.
Right. Jim's right.
And he went out and
we
pitched well.
We said this Friday. If he went and pitched well, Jim's like, even Jim, the most staunch Red Sox fan, says, give me 7 or 8 straight of those. Just because you go and you pitch well to avoid the Yankees and pitch well against Toronto in a dome? You're going to get credit for that? No. That's doing your job. He didn't mow him down. He didn't last 7. Everybody got bumped up. Bullpen got spent a couple of innings prior. Then he had the late one on Friday, right?
Oh.
He had to be good.
How annoying was that?
Could you imagine if he got rocked in 3 innings? Could have set the whole damn staff back 2 days. Chris Sale, what a waste. I mean, we didn't talk, I know we're talking Price, but man, Sale was so damn good on Friday. No decision.
Woo. When it comes to Friday, quickly, before we talk Price. Yeah. Is Brian Johnson done with the Red Sox?
Should be.
He's out of options.
Yeah.
At what point do you just say, okay, this guy, give someone else a shot, because this guy's not really coming around? Because they wasted a Chris Sale start on Friday night.
That's hard. That's hard to go back in that clubhouse and have to give that one up. That type of night, that type of pitcher. It's almost like if you're in a bullpen, don't put me out there. I don't want to blow this.
By the way, Sale came out of the gate in that game Friday and was getting sort of hit hard. And then just
shut him down.
Settled down, pitched 9 complete innings, and struck out 15 guys along the way. And then they turned it over
for no decision.
They turned it over to the bullpen, which completely crapped themselves again, because that's what this bullpen is. And Dave Dombrowski, as we've mentioned multiple times in the last week, without Jason Groom and without a prospect that has gone down for an 80-game PED suspension. They don't have much to move. They're going to have to find a way to do a deal that's probably going to involve trading away Blake Swihart, who's not playing and is playing very little, and his trade value can only diminish when he doesn't play. So they need to do something about this bullpen. You can't waste starts like that.
No.
That was a killer on Friday night. Brian Johnson. Sorry, man. Not going to cut it here.
No, especially on nights where you're sort of like keeping pace with the Yankees, too. It's like they lose, you lose. They win, you win. You need one of those to separate you. You'll be sitting back here, and this is what we're going to end up doing at the end of the year, I'm telling you. We're going to be looking back and picking. Remember that game when Chris Sale won 9 innings? Could you imagine that? You have to do that damn playing game for that wild card? Screw that. Fix this damn thing, man. Don't wait till last minute either. Some panic move where you got to give up a ton to get somebody that's average.
You got Tyler Thornburg, he's throwing 97 in the minors on his rehab. I mean, at some point, just bring him up. I know he's struggled, but he's throwing 97. Bring him up to the majors.
Bring him up and let's do this.
Was he in the dugout the other night? I thought he was in a dugout the other night.
Maybe he was, like, on a visit to check him out.
Yeah, because Karen Austin was talking about him. They threw to her, and she's like, I was chatting with him, and the frustration, he was, like, rolling his neck in the dugout. I thought I saw him standing in the dugout the other night.
I think that Price pitching well on Saturday also proves that with everything in his head, when he gets these reassurances from the doctors that there's a relief, that there's a confidence boost, that he can then function again, right?
I mean, it's like not Clay Buchholz, but Pedroia with his knee, right?
Did not only that, though, but this is like made up crap in his head. This is like classic hypochondriac. Once he's told he's okay, then he feels good again.
Right.
Right?
Now what you talking about, Jim.
Hey, we know what you got. It's almost better that they tell him he does have something. You have mild carpal tunnel, but you can work your way through it by resting it and, okay, good, now I feel good. Then he goes out and throws 93 pitches and looks fine and has the curveball working. Great.
Yeah.
Because he's mentally able to go out and do it again.
Jim's right. I think Pedroia had that wrist thing. Didn't he go to Ohio for like a second and third opinion? He came back after that.
But he was legitimately
hurt.
Yeah, that legitimate injury.
Right. It's a little different.
You guy, he's wasted 6 hours of my day. Get your ass back on a plane and go see the team in New York. You're going back to New York. You're not even going straight to Toronto. You're not skipping Toronto. You're going back to New York.
I think that's got to be part of it. He goes in. Doctor tells him he has something. It's mild, it's no big deal, or you're fine, the thing you thought you had, you don't have, you're fine, you can go out and do it. And then there's that like reassurance and confidence boost is the process of finding out there's nothing wrong with you.
That's an interesting take, because Maz has been saying, like, they didn't have to come out and say mild carpal tunnel. They could have said, like, been vague about it and then had him go out there so he doesn't look as bad. But maybe you're right, maybe it's not about making him look bad.
No.
Maybe it's about making him feel better.
Yes.
Tag it.
Yeah.
They needed a term. He probably came back there cleared, and they're like, well, you can't clear him. Come up with something.
Yeah, don't tell him he's totally fine.
Yeah.
Because he'll still think you're wrong. Tell him he's got something, and tell him it's mild and it's manageable.
He battles every day.
And then look what he does. The head case goes out there and pitches well. It's like a relief. There's some sort of relief there within that behavior of finding out there's something, that it's mild, it's manageable, all of that.
A couple days outside, Hardy, you were outside over the weekend. I know you had a kid, sports. How you battling with your eyes, your nose?
I'm fine.
Feeling pretty good?
T-Bone
went blind over the weekend from allergies. He little David Price back there.
On the golf course, right?
Can't see in this. Hit the ball.
What happened?
Went golfing with his mom for Mother's Day, yeah.
Yeah?
He went, what?
Claims he went blind? Like, couldn't see anything? What happened?
Here we go.
Just put him on the mic.
Put his mic on.
Please. Please, what happened to you?
Prepare to be electrified.
Yeah. What happened?
Well, I was out there on the...
Stop it. Stop.
Speak, boy.
No, I was out there, and we were coming back, and out there for, a few hours. You know? Coming back, and I...
Wait, from Minnesota,
I literally, it was blurry. I was blind. I could not pitch.
Okay.
You had blurred vision, though.
I did. But I wear contacts.
So maybe, was it a contact issue or was it an allergy issue?
It's probably the watering with the contacts, yeah. See, you don't have LASIK, though. He did.
Do you think you would have had these issues had you not been wearing contacts?
I don't know.
We'll never know. But are you feeling some sort of sympathy today for David Price?
A little bit, yeah.
Oh, God.
Go to hell, Tom. Come on, get out of here.
The hell out of here, Tom.
Thanks, Tom.
Ridiculous.
My hand hurts, too. Yeah. A little carpal tunnel.
Yeah, my back hurts. I schlepped 10 yards of mulch again. Okay?
Oh, it's 10 now. I thought it was 30.
No, I'm chipping away at that pile, buddy. I'll show you it.
No, please don't.
You did show me a picture. It's not 30 yards.
It's 30 yards.
It's not 30 yards.
There's no way that was 30 yards.
So you're saying South Shore Landscape Supply ripped me off.
I'm saying because
you paid for it.
And you don't even know what you ordered, but I'm telling you, there's no way they dumped 30 yards of mulch in your driveway. And we'll have every landscaper and mulch guy on the planet calling in to say, yeah, I would find it hard to believe that someone did a 30-yard mulch delivery to a private residence when all you need it for is flower beds and around the pool and whatnot. 30 yards. No, it's not.
30.
No.
30 yards.
No, no.
Yeah, no is right. More on the Red Sox, including the two opposite ends of the spectrum within the Red Sox lineup. Guys who are hitting, guys who are not, and your calls next.
Zolak and Bertrand.
It is no longer wise to ignore us.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
JD, 336, 9 homers. He's driven in 30. And a high fly to right field. He hit that well. Hernandez back all the way, and she is gone. That didn't take long. J.D. Martinez with number 10, and the Red Sox grab a quick 2-0 lead.
We'll send this one out to J.D. Martinez, Zed, one of his favorite artists, according to the thing on the side of the screen on Nesson. We'll send this out. You can request all the songs you want. You keep hitting the ball like this, kid.
Sure.
You ready for this?
Oh, I hate this song.
You ready for this?
Go ahead. Yep.
Red Sox with 10-plus home runs,
yep,
and 50-plus hits through 40 games in a season.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to know who's on that list?
Sure, go ahead. Ted
well,
Williams,
you know J.D. Martinez is on that list, J.D.
Yeah.
Right? J.D. Martinez is on the
list. Or you wouldn't be
list.
Asking us, yeah.
You ready for the company that he
sure.
now joins?
Yeah. Give it to me.
Manny Ramirez yep. did that in 2001. Mo Vaughn did it three times, more than any other Red Sox player in history. 94, 96, and 98.
Wow.
Mo Vaughn. The other players were Dwight Evans in 81, Jim Rice in 78, Ted Williams in 48 and 57. Let that sink in for a minute, by the way. Ted Williams doing that 11 seasons apart. And Jimmy Fox, 1938 and 1940. So that puts J.D. Martinez on a list with Manny Ramirez, Mo Vaughn, Dwight Evans, Jim Rice, Ted Williams, and Jimmy Fox. Again, 10-plus home runs and 50-plus hits through 40 games. Wow.
He's on fire.
Wow.
At least all pace he's got going.
Not only that, it seems that his home runs have really meant something in most of the situations that he's hit them
in. The three lately have, yes.
Holy no, just the entire way, Zoe. His home runs have tended to be in situations that matter.
I think the first two or three didn't, which
yeah.
Zoe harped on
oh,
every
yeah.
time
yep.
he saw it.
Yeah, I agree. Give him his due.
So
hey,
you, can't even make that accusation like, oh, he hits him when you're down five in the ninth. Then, nope. Nope, he's hit game-winning home runs. He's hit home runs in key situations. He's gotten the team off to good starts. Almost
serious question
applied to J.D. Martinez.
Would you rather be the Red Sox and in on Martinez and probably in for only 2 years because he's probably going to get another deal, right?
Of course.
Would you rather be them or would you rather be the Yankees and what they had to pay for Stanton based
I'd
on the production
be the Red
of these
Sox.
Two?
I'd rather be the Red Sox. As soon as that deal was signed.
I agree with that, too.
With
even
JD
though I
Martinez,
wanted Stanton.
With all the opt-outs, I said, this is a better situation
Stanton
than
gives
what
you star
Stanton
power.
Is in New York.
Stanton gives you star power, though.
No,
I
mean, listen,
I think they
Stanton,
needed,
when he's on, is the best hitter in baseball. He's
well, they
the
needed
best
him.
Power hitter in the game.
Meaning the Yankees needed him. They need that. That market needs that type of player. This guy is fitting in nicely here.
But I don't want J.D. Martinez in 5 years. I want him this year. I want him next
right.
year.
And then you want the
I don't want 2022 J.D. Martinez. I want the 18 and 19 version. Stanton? Yeah, I want Stanton for the next 4 years, not the next 10. And that's why I was, you know, against that.
Yep.
And as it was reported, 5 years for J.D. Martinez, I saw that's a waste. But there's opt-outs, and I'm willing to bet he opts out during the course of this deal. That he opts out. And the Red Sox at that point, you know what they should do?
Thank you. Thank you for making us a good
you.
Hitting team.
Appreciate you being here.
For helping us.
Giving
yes.
us what you gave us. But this is where we go our separate
this
ways.
This is where we do smart baseball.
That's if they're smart.
This is where we have to start paying Mookie Betts and Xander Bogaerts.
Bingo. That's exactly right. Specialty Betts. That's where you say, great, you filled a need for us for a period of time. We really appreciate what you did here. Happy that we were able to get you in here. And now we're letting you walk away. Is what they should really do. That's how they should handle it. If they then get, you know, talked into re-signing him by
right.
his agent, then they're dumb. Then they did it wrong. They had it all wrong. But he's been great. He's been absolutely great.
It's been really good.
And you can't even find something to not like him for.
Yeah. Nothing.
Not a damn thing.
No. Just that's just yeoman's work. Just does his job. Steady. Steady Eddie. It's nice. It's impressive. Give him his due. I am.
Okay.
It's a long year, though.
There it is. There's that one end of the spectrum. The other end, Jackie Bradley Jr. Absolutely sucks.
Sit down.
Sit down.
Why do they still view him as a starter?
He got a hit yesterday, though.
Oh.
Don't know if you know that. He did get a hit.
Blind squirrel finds a nut sometimes.
And he had a walk. For the first time in the month of May.
Oh, boy. That's what you love.
He had his first walk in the month of May, and he got his third hit in the month of May, which big milestones there. He went 1-for-3 day after going 0-for-4. And I don't really love what's coming out of the manager's mouth on this situation right now, because I just don't agree with it.
Well, it's probably being told something from up top.
Maybe. Here's the quote from Cora on Saturday. Said, we felt like he made some progress in the batting cages. We have to play him.
Batting
progress. He's not going to find it in the dugout, meaning finding his swing, finding his ability to hit the ball.
He's right about that.
I think 3 days watching the game from a different perspective is always good. We have to play him? Why do you have to play
him? You don't have to play him.
You don't have to play him. He says, sometimes we have to keep saying, you have to breathe, you have to breathe, and then we don't give them chances to breathe. And I decided, you will breathe.
You know what it is, too?
Watch a game and work and be ready for whenever we need you. Today we feel like it's a good day for him. That's interesting. You know how everyone told us, again, I can't believe that we're May 15th.
We're looking at days. Which days are good, which are bad.
And I'm already back to second-guessing everything the manager does, and I'm getting mad at those who just blindly defend managers. The blind defense there was, well, Jackie Bradley Jr. has good numbers against Aroldis Chapman. That's why Cora kept him in there. Cora's doing his work, right? Jimmy Stewart was saying that.
Good old 2-3. 2-3.
I saw his tweets on that crap.
Big sampling. Three times.
Okay, well, I can tell you, here's the proof that's not what factored into that. Bradley going into the game on Saturday, the starter was Marco Estrada for Toronto. Bradley, 3-for-15 lifetime against Estrada. And then you know what he did in Saturday's game? He went 0-for-4 with a couple of Ks. Oh, so that didn't work out.
Huh.
Whoops. Guy can't hit. Can't do it. Just can't do it.
You want to hear Cora post game yesterday?
Please.
Yes, absolutely.
Here he is.
He did, yeah. 3-2 changeup. That was a good one. He's still working on it, you know, with the timing, but it seems like his hands are working a little bit more. Fouled off a few pitches. Just keep working. Keep working. God. One thing for sure, he's going to play hard for us. He made a good cut in that ball that Solarte hit before the double. So, I mean, we like that about him. He's not going to quit. He's going to play hard, and we're going to keep pushing.
Yeah, I said the same thing to my 9-year-old Saturday at about 11:30 after his second strikeout. And then all of a sudden they start taking walks, and they're all looking for walks. And I grabbed him by the shirt and said, you walk one more time, I swear to God, we're going home. You know, we ended up doing getting hit after that. Alex Cora is talking to Jackie Bradley Jr. like you do a 9-year-old.
He's congratulating him on being able to follow off some pitches.
Seems like his hands are working a little bit more.
Hands are working. So David Price's hands some days don't work, but Jackie Bradley's do work on this day. Here's what happened. They probably had the discussion with him. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to sit you down for a game or two, and it might be three, but we're going to get you back in there. And you got to think about it. We'll just get away from it. Like what Stevens told the Celtics the other day. Get away from it. Get away from the game for a little bit. Sit down, watch a game differently, get in the cage, and then we'll get you back in there in three or four games. I mean, these guys think they're a lot better than what they are. Every athlete does. Every guy that thinks they're better than them, or you're getting screwed. So I understand he's got to. It's a delicate situation like that to where kid's really, really good defensive outfielder, but it ain't working at the plate. But we got to help bounce so we don't lose the player.
Yes,
that's all. They don't want to lose him.
Yeah. Well, why? What's the big problem if you lose him?
Well, I mean, somebody's gonna. Hey, it's a long year, man. At some point, you're gonna need him a little bit.
Yeah, as a defensive late replacement,
yes.
Or as a guy who's playing a game here or there.
But if the guy mentally checks out, then that's also gone too.
Well, if he mentally checks out and quits, he's ruining his own career, whatever there's left of it. Oh, man. He can't hit.
The problem is the catchers aren't hitting either. If the catchers aren't hitting, then he's not hitting. That's a problem.
Yeah,
if he's not hitting and the catchers are hitting, he's not as big of a problem.
But there's a bigger expectation that your center fielder is going to hit over your catcher going to hit.
Right.
You should count on nothing out of your catcher when it comes to offense.
And I think you have to consider that he's going to hit at some point. Bradley's going to hit this year at some point. He's not going to hit like this
for like
all
a 3-week stretch, and then he goes back to being this. Who's the real Jackie Bradley? This is the real Jackie Bradley. What you're seeing right now, a guy who consistently struggles, and then he'll go on a tear for 3 weeks, and then it will end. And he'll go back to being this guy. This is who he is. It's a problem. It's a real problem for this team. They got to sort this out. They got to be willing to have some guts to make some moves. They've got deficiencies. The bullpen is certainly one of them. It makes scoring runs and, you know, putting as many up on the board as you can a real priority to try and make up for that for the time being until they can actually address the problem. This guy's hurting them in that front. 617-779-0985. Dante Scarnecchia and other Patriots coaches spoke on Friday.
What's your sleeve length, your arm length?
I don't know. Jim, what's yours?
35? You got little tiny alligator arms in there.
36?
Jim's a pretty good athlete.
Sleeve length? Oh,
let's measure it out.
I'm a 33, 34.
I'm 36.
I think I'm 32.
You got those long monkey arms.
Like a little. Or maybe 34. Like a,
I'm also shorter
like a
than
T-Rex.
You guys.
T-Rex arms.
It's proportionate.
T-Rex.
T-Rex arms. Don't forget, 11:50, 20 minutes from now, we're giving away tickets to Celtics-Cavs Game 2.
Sports Hub headlines.
Yeah, Game 2 is tomorrow night after the Celtics took Game 1, 108-83. That is your final from the TD Garden yesterday. Let's check in with Jason Tatum. You guys played with a big lead for a lot of that game, huh, Jason?
Better than being down.
Yeah.
Had to come back. But you got to stay composed. And, you know, they're going to make runs, but you got to, you know, try to hold them.
Hello. That was the... We're not going to listen to this sound anymore. Game 2 tomorrow night at the TD Garden. Red Sox over the Blue Jays 5-3 yesterday. They take 2 of 3 in Toronto over the weekend. Rick Porcello to the mound tonight for the first of 3 against the Oakland A's. The start of a 7-game homestand. Supreme Court struck down a federal anti-sports gambling law today. So now states have the ability to allow betting on sports. Headlines are brought to you by the Boston Area Campus of Connecticut School of Broadcasting. Get in the game. Visit GoCSB.com for more details. I'm Hardy. I'm Boston's home for sports. 98.5 The Sports Hub. More headlines in 30 minutes.
It's the joy of the hot dog.
Boom. Like, I win. Like, yeah.
But he has the ability to get skinny in the hole.
I know. I want to get it out.
Highly underrated piece of news.
Beetle and Zell.
Sports Hub host for the most.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Everybody was kung fu fighting. Was a little bit frightening, but they fought with expert timing. There were funky China men from funky Chinatown. They were chopping them up, they were chopping them down. It's an ancient Chinese art, and everybody needs
11:50. Less than 15 minutes from now, we've got your Celtics tickets for Game 2. We play this because there's some sort of karate master that's working for the Patriots now.
What?
This from...
This is Red Flag City for me, baby.
Okay. From the Boston Globe, yeah. Ben Volen. Patriots bringing in martial arts expert to help their pass rushers. The Patriots continue to look for help with their pass rush, but not with players or traditional football coaches. The team is hiring martial arts expert Joe Kim as a pass rushing consultant for the entire 2018 season. I added entire, but it says 2018 season. A league source told the Globe. Kim, a Cleveland area taekwondo master, has worked or consulted for 10 other NFL teams since 1992, most recently with the Browns in 2016. Anything the Browns have done that you're ripping off, usually not the best idea. Kim is reuniting with Bill Belichick, who gave Kim his first football job in 92 when Belichick was Cleveland's head coach. Kim also has coached Patriots defensive tackle Danny Shelton, who was a member of the 2016 Browns and sucked in Cleveland, so they traded him to the Patriots. I added that in. That's my commentary.
Sure. That's not written in there.
What is this?
This is a Red Flag City for me. They went back and they looked at film and they said, oh my God, all we have is leverage rushers. You know what a leverage rusher is? It's where you get pad under pad and you get up under a guy and all you're going to do is bull rush a guy. This tells me that after looking at tape, we are really bad with our hands defensively. That's what this is. This is hand-to-hand combat. This is the SWAT move that
guy, don't hit the microphone.
No, I'm just showing you how to do it. You know, like, here, look over here. Here's the right hand. Now switch that way.
Okay.
And just like that. It's the Chandler Jones, Jason Taylor type stuff. Why was Chandler Jones so good early in his career? Got a lot of information from his brother, John Bones. Bones Jones.
Bones Jones.
Right?
Who loves to party. He loves to party, that
but one. But really good with his hands and strong hands and leveraging. Chandler has talked about that. He learned a lot from his brother about getting guys off balance and pushing and, you know, just it's the swim move. All of your hand leverage techniques. I remember this back after before my start against the 49ers. Before my start with the 49ers, I'm out there like 3 hours warming up. I look down the other end of the field, and there's this Chinese guy down there, and he's got the big hand pads on, these big hand pads, big round hand pads. I'm looking at it, and the whole defensive line is doing this. They're in their three-point stance. They get up, and then he holds up one, and boom, they slap it one way,
wax
and they
on.
Swim through it, and they
wax
get through
off.
It. Get up through it.
You know, wax on.
It's rip technique. It's slap. It's move. It's spin. And I'm down there looking like, what are they doing down there? I'm going to be all right. Ken Norton was big into it. It started early with the 49ers.
Did he catch a fly with chopsticks?
Did I even remember talking to idiot Jim Druckenmiller? Yeah, one of the dumbest guys I've ever been around, Jim Druckenmiller. I told you stories about him. He's like, yeah, I remember San Francisco.
Watching porn on the plane.
Yeah, the guy watching porn on the plane. I love having this guy out there warm us up in that. I'm like, Jim, you're not an offensive lineman. He goes, yeah, but I'm working on all my back kick stuff in that, and his round kicks.
Wax on, right hand. Wax off, left hand.
So you hear the name. You hear the name Joe Kim, and you're thinking martial arts, and you're like, "Oh, the guy must know what he's talking about." Take a look at him. This is a Donna Chang Seinfeld situation.
What do we got?
This guy ain't Chinese. This guy ain't nothing. He lives in Ohio. He resides in Avon Lake, Ohio, with his wife Gina, and their two beautiful daughters, Katie and Lexi. That doesn't sound like
that's
he's
him.
From... He's
Joe
not from
Kim.
The Orient.
No. I said, empty your mind. Be formless, shapeless, like water.
Yeah, Joe Kim, he changed it just like Donna Chang. No, I shortened it from Changstein.
Is he bringing this
I'm
guy
I'm not taking advice from a girl from Long Island. Joe Kim.
Joe Kim.
Look at this guy. He is like middle America, like 101, man. This dude's probably been to like Disney
it's
World
like
10
with
times.
A goatee.
Oh, yes, this guy's been to Disney World.
Bird with a goatee.
He probably has season passes to Cedar Point out there in Ohio.
He is kind of scary, though. He looks like one of these old fat...
He looks like he could kill you with two fingers.
No, he doesn't. He looks like an old fat guy.
No, he looks like he would
start poking around in the Shaw's parking lot if he took your spot, and then he'd end up breaking your neck in 2 seconds.
Per the Cleveland Plain Dealer, Belichick discovered Kim in a newspaper article in 1992. Found him in the newspaper and sent pass rushers Michael
section?
Dean Perry and Anthony Pleasant, a young Anthony Pleasant.
Ooh.
To work out with Kim at his gym. A few weeks later, Belichick gave Kim a job on his staff, which he held through the 1995 season. Kim has had three stints with the Browns and has also worked for the Redskins, Bears, Chiefs, Giants, Broncos, Bills, Packers, Cowboys, Dolphins, and Penn State, per his website. He also has worked with pass rushers such as Tamba Ali and Justin Houston. Good names. Good names.
92 Browns, 8th in the NFL in sacks.
Okay, well, let me think. What year are we in? 17
last
year.
Next year they were 3rd.
Last year the Patriots were 16th in the league in sacks.
Michael Dean Perry, 8.5 sacks from defensive tackle.
In what
that
year?
92.
But shouldn't we look at 93? Which year? I don't
92,
know.
92, he was. He had
okay, I don't know
half,
what
yeah.
month in 92. We'll assume it was off season. Yeah,
I'm
okay.
Assuming it was off season
right.
before
yeah,
the 92
sense.
Season. Yeah.
That
he said
sense.
He hired him for the 92 season.
Yeah, okay. That
Clay Matthews, sense. Senior, 36 year old, had 9 sacks.
Really?
Rob Burnett, 9 sacks. Anthony Pleasant, 4 sacks.
Do you know what I would do instead of bringing in the Taekwondo master? I'd just use my picks. I wouldn't be trading back, I'd be accumulating some players. Brandon and Peabody. Brandon.
Hi. I was just commenting on the Taekwondo thing.
Yes.
Taekwondo is martial arts and kicks, so I don't know why it would bring a Taekwondo specialist in.
Well, so
that
you
makes
can't,
no sense.
You can't kick the left tackle. You have to actually, you know, push him out of the way. You can't kick him. That seems to be a problem. Is that true? Taekwondo is about kicking? Anyone?
I don't think it's about slap and tickle. Yeah, I think there's probably some kicking involved.
Well, what does a kick
Why
do?
Why don't I slap you and see what happens?
You can't do anything with a kick in the NFL unless you're kicking the football.
My name is Rex, and
if you study with my 8-week program. You will learn a system of self-defense that I developed over 2 seasons of fighting in the octagon.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, Rex Kwon Do.
Yeah.
I want to take self-defense with me and Pedro.
How much?
All right, you'll do.
Oh, here it is. Here it is. From Wikipedia. Let's just read the first sentence from Wikipedia. Taekwondo is a Korean martial art characterized by its emphasis on head height kicks, jumping, spinning kicks, and fast kicking techniques. What the hell? What the hell is that?
Badass stuff.
It's all about kicking. That guy was right. Good call.
Yeah.
All about kicks.
What's the llama's name? Tina?
What is going on? I don't get it. I don't get it at all. We're giving away Celtics tickets next. And we'll get to that sound of Dante Scarnecchia talking about Isaiah Wynn. So I was excited about that.
I love it.
Again, Celtics tickets, the giveaway right after this.
Making your job suck just a little bit less.
You think they have a big hole?
I think they have a big hole.
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
This hour, Zolak and Bertrand is brought to you by... Jim, I don't know. GNC, ignite what's inside you. From building muscle to finding the best multis, get the highest quality wellness solutions and supplements. Now buy two, get one free for a limited time at GNC. Live well.
Just an imbecile.
Okay, quiet, Zo. Got something important to do. Okay?
Fool!
As promised.
It's over!
Right now. To celebrate how Dunkin' Donuts Cold Brew keeps Celtics fans running. Caller number 10 to the Pride Motor Group contest line. Contest line only. 617-931-0985. We'll score a pair of tickets to Game 2. Of the Eastern Conference Finals tomorrow night at TD Garden. That's caller 10 right now to the contest line, 617-931-0985. You are going to the game, game two.
Go.
Thanks to Dunkin' Donuts.
Go, go, go.
Right.
There you go.
All right. How's that for a ticket giveaway?
Open lines.
Intern doing his first contest back there on the phones. Don't screw it up.
Yeah, don't mess this up, Chet.
New intern day.
Chet's not going to stick.
Chip.
I don't know. We got to let it come to us. It's like having a new puppy.
Looks like a Brent.
Live with it for a few days before you decide its
right.
name.
Remember like the beginning of Marley and Me? Like he's riding around with the dog in the car.
No.
Listening to Bob Marley.
No.
And he's like, you know, you're a lab, yellow lab. You're Bob? Yeah, One Love came on the radio. I can't name you Bob. What about Marley? Marley's a good name. Something will stick with this kid. He'll screw something up. And we'll just, okay, bam, got it. There it is. Don't have it now, but I'm saying it's going to happen that way.
Here we have Master Joe Kim performing a momentum break. This type of break places his hand 3 inches from the barn board, relying heavily on the third derivative known as the jerk.
So he's beating
him. Oh, not, Jesus!
Geez,
that's
what
not
the hell
him.
Was that? That's a different Joe Kim. I know what Jim's doing back there. He found somebody else on YouTube doing breaking boards. His name was Joe Kim. It's a different Joe Kim.
Who will
literally be renaming himself Joe Karate.
Well, that guy, the guy that Jim just played looks like a Joe Kim. The Joe Kim the Patriots hired, his name was Joe Kimble. But he shortened it so he could get more students at the Taekwondo class. That's my guess. I'm just theorizing.
Here we have Master Joe Kim performing an open backhand break. Known for breaking 3 2-inch concrete slabs with his open backhand, this is merely a demonstration of his technique. For further videos, please refer to his website at joekimtaekwondo.com.ne.kr.
Wait, what? I'm sorry? That's not, that doesn't exactly roll off
Hardy,
the tongue.
Give it to me. Hold on. Jim, play it back. I'm going to see if I can find it.
Hardy's going to write it down.
Give me that. No, I'm going to type it in.
Yeah, type it in.
That's not
Joe.
Good.
At joekimtaekwondo.com.ne.kr.
I'm sorry?
I can't spell taekwondo.
Oh, it's T-A-E. It's T-A-E.
JoeKim.com. What?
K-W-N. K-W-A-N.
Can you play that back one more time?
JoeKimTaekwondo.com.ne.kr.
Is it Taekwon?
Oh, I got it. Oh, it. This is gonna shut down every computer in the building.
Come on,
wait! It didn't come up.
Something came up in the top left.
Yeah, and then nothing happens.
Click on it.
Pop up blocked. Hold on.
And then I just clicked on the link and it says I quick payday loan.
Always allow pop up. Sure.
Yes.
JoeKimTaekwondo.ne.kr/gov.
Hey, you saw that movie with Sarah.
.org. .net.
Speedloan.co.kr.
Right. I don't need a mortgage or a payday loan or a car loan or any of those things.
Joe Kim was only going to be able to squat on a primo website like joequintaekwondo.ne.kr for so long before somebody came along and just made him an offer he couldn't resist.
It got too pricey.
What's the name of that actress?
The web hosting fees got to be a little too much.
What's the name of the actress in The Blind Side?
Sandra Bullock.
Yeah, Sandra Bullock. Did you see the movie she was in While You Were Sleeping?
No.
Classic back in the day. But there was a guy that ran the building. He was a landlord, but his name was Joey something. I forget the guy's name.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, is he hitting on you? Because if he doesn't, I know a little karate. And he's had a pinky ring.
All right, that's good.
What the hell was his name?
Can you get to Dante Scarnecchia now?
Oh, this is great.
He spoke on Friday.
So Andy Hart threw out the first question to Scar regarding
the size of
length of an arm. Does that matter of, you know, how tall a guy is to play left tackle or right tackle in this league or what you covet as a player? And here's the conversation.
How important do you see height and length at tackle?
Well, I mean, you know, Andy, we'd like to see him as tall and as long as they can possibly be, but, you know, does he have the skill to play it? You know, does he have enough length to play it? What's long enough? So if my arms are 35 inches, and every time I hit you like that. My arms aren't 35 inches, are they? Measure it. 20? Okay. But if I have you here, then my arms are 35. So you tell me a guy's 35 inches, has 35-inch arms. Every time he goes to pass block, he goes like that. His arms aren't 35. So what good are they? So my point is, you know, guy's got 33, but he uses them. It's as good as the guy's got 37-inch arms. So I think that's way overrated. I really do. I'm not saying every tackle you have should have 20-inch arms, but I'm saying maybe there are some minimums, you know. And, you know, we think we have the guys that we have that we're training at that position all fall within those standards. Matt Light's arms are 33 inches, and he played 10 years in this league. Did you know that?
Nope.
Got to look into that stuff.
Right.
He's got 33-inch arms. Okay? No one knew that. 6'4 and 3/4, not 6'7. What's the standards? I don't know. I just, can a guy play it or can he not play it? So if you're referring to Isaiah, he's played left tackle in the best conference in America. Played pretty good. So we're going to take a look at it and see how it goes.
So he's talking about Isaiah Wynn. You know, he doesn't have all the measurables as far as, you know, 6'7", like Solder or Sebastian Vollmer, you know, long reach. But what Scar's talking about is, okay, you play the game in here, in the jersey. So your ability to, you know, play within 20 inches, it's about arm strength. See, but that's all predicated on your ability to move your feet, too. So if you're an edge guy, and say you're on the road and you got Von Miller pressing that edge, and he's coming around the end. If you can't hear the snap count, and if you're going on his motion and he gets a jump step on you, it's going to help the 6'7" guy that's got the 37-inch, because now all of a sudden I got to extend that arm to try and push him. See what I'm saying? If you're getting beat, but you understand, if you're going around, if I got a guy that's going to reach and he's got 37 inches, he's going to have a better chance getting Von Miller than a 6'3" guy that gets beat and only has the 33-inch arms. So you're giving up 4 or 5 inches there. But the
reach is what you're giving up.
Reach is what you're giving up. But
the amount of ground you can cover.
What Scar's telling you is they're going to take a guy. If he can play, they'll give up the height
As long as the guy has great hands and he can play, meaning he moves his feet.
I was going to say, you've got to be able to move your feet move. Much better.
That's why
at
Shaq,
all times.
That's why they love Shaq Mason.
Like, there's no chance the guy can be lazy at any point because he'll just get killed.
What do you think David Andrews' reach is? You could pick that guy out of a lineup.
Yeah, but he's not playing left tackle.
Looks like he works on a street team here. No offense to street team. Big kids.
He's not playing left tackle.
Correct. But you're still reaching. His point is you're reaching and pushing. You know, but they do like him big on the edge. It's kind of, you know. Or they wouldn't have gotten traded for Trent Brown.
Can I just say this?
Trent Brown. Speaking of Trent Brown, Skarnecki had kind of maybe slipped up.
What do you got here on Trent Brown?
So they were talking about he'd never had a guy that big before. And then one of the reporters was saying, well, what about so-and-so? Maybe Ryan O'Callaghan or somebody. He goes, well, he wasn't 380. I said, well, so Trent Brown's 380? I thought he was 355. He's 380 now?
No, he's really 380. I mean, those weights are never real.
I guess the best part of that whole thing was Soucy popped in after it. So I guess he was popping around from coach to coach.
Yeah.
Soucy popped in at the end of that conversation, reteed up. Hey, Dante, I want to ask you about arm length or something. Like, and Andy Hart goes, hey, Dante, you want me to take care of this one? I got it. Bob popped in late, asked a question. Love him.
Yeah. I would just say that it was nice to hear from Dante Scarnecchia. There were no state secrets that were revealed. There was no damage done to the Patriots. There was no competitive advantage that was given away by a guy who's worked in the NFL for how long? How long's Dante been?
40?
Forever?
Yeah. He was a veteran when I got him in 91.
Okay. Yeah.
Can I propose something?
I just want to say that was pretty cool. That was just, and listen, whether or not you agree with him, disagree with him, you think he might end up being wrong, and I say, it doesn't matter.
He's a straight shooter.
Was that not good?
Good information.
Not good information? Yep. Was that not
How about the
okay?
Matt Light point?
Look at it. Gillette Stadium still standing, has not burned to the ground with an assistant
right.
And multiple. You know, we heard from Josh McDaniels on Friday. We heard from other coaches. And Dante Scarnecchia talked. And look what happened.
What intangibles.
Nothing. Everything's the same.
During the season, the coordinators are supposed to speak on like once a week on a conference call.
And they typically do.
And so Flores, if he doesn't have the title, doesn't have to speak.
Right.
Can I propose that maybe Scarnecchia speaks every week because he's awesome to listen to.
Yep.
Gives you good technical stuff. I mean, the intangibles
there,
too.
I mean, he
wasn't even
asked the question about Isaiah Wynn. He offered that. He knew where the reporter was going and talked for a minute and a half about what the reporter wanted because he knew exactly where he was going with
the question. And what was really impacted by that? Well, what's the negative outcome from him knowing what the question was about and just getting to it?
Well, he brought up the Matt Light point, too. You guys didn't even know this, but he had 33-inch arms. That guy played 10 years in this league at a high level. It's not always about the intangibles, about this guy's got 37. It's nice to have that. Yeah. It's good stuff from Scar.
Noontime hour is here.
Sure is.
We've got headlines with Hardy. 90 seconds.
Look at that guy.
Including news today on sports wagering. A big, big day in sports.
A lot of gambling now.
We should not undersell that point.
Ding,
I know
ding,
that
ding,
we
ding, ding,
had some fun talking about it earlier, but this is a potential game changer for the interest level in sports. Ratings in sports, all of it. This is big, man.
What do you think my man Felix down here at Foxwoods is doing? Meet with architects today, kind of expanding. We're going to put the sports,
where are we gonna put
sports
it?
Book in right here.
Where's that going to go?
Got a lot of room on the backside of the Grand Pequot.
Nice. Right there. Like it right there. Put it right there.
Right there. I can eat David Burke's. I can go over there.
Right.
I
mean, yeah. There. Let's do it.
Do it.
So Hardy's got the news on that, and we are back talking about the Celtics in 90 seconds.